Okay. Now I. So anyway, the call to parents, as I'm reminded, you know, as you guys know, we have seven kids, and as I was revisiting this, and Suzanne and I have had some discussion, I realized we need to even have more discussion again with our younger ones in the home. We were probably, this is on recording, more intentional with our older ones, and yet my point is, as parents, we need to make sure that, again, it's something that we are addressing, because I tell you, as I interact with young people in our church, this problem of sexual temptation and sin is prevalent. I don't want to overstate it and say everywhere, but it's there. And if we as parents don't deal with it, we're really not loving our kids rightly. And if you young people who are tempted or are amidst the sin of sexual temptation and lust, if you're not dealing with it, then you're really just an outright sin, and you need help. You know, and we desire to help you. God desires to give you victory. Okay. So what I would like to do is have us turn to Proverbs chapter 7. So if you guys could turn to Proverbs chapter 7, what we see here is the story of the temptation leading to sexual seduction. In this chapter, we see the high value of godly wisdom, the enticing and false sweetness of the lies of sexual temptation and sin. And we see in this chapter, as we go through it, that what happens when a young person places himself in the wrong place at the wrong time for the wrong reasons. And the reason that we see in this chapter is to gratify the desires of the flesh. And then ultimately in this chapter, we see the ugliness and consequences of this sin. And then the chapter, we'll see bookends with instruction again and with the truth of hope and safety that's a result when we honor God and we trust and obey Him. So we're going to break it into chunks and then discuss it, since it's like 27 verses long. So, Suzanne, do you mind reading the first five verses?
My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words.
Okay, so now let's just take a little peek at this together a little bit deeper. So as we, for those of us that remember it, like in chapter 5 and 6, we see the same call that we all need to heed, and that is the importance of keeping, of embracing, of treasuring God's word. And it's, you know, in this context, I think it's interesting and really a great model that you see this father delivering it to his son. So what a great thing and privilege for us as dads to be having these conversations and to take these truths from God's word.
I love verse 2.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what I wanted to talk about next. So why don't you expound a bit on that? What is that telling us?
Well, you can die in so many ways, from your mental health. You know, it drags you down roads, thought processes, you chase things you shouldn't be. There's just a lot of things that temptation is crafty, and it sneaks in and it takes hold of your attention and takes you with it.
Right. Absolutely. So
you end up dying to certain things and dying to the joys that you could have had.
Right.
You know, there's things that it missed because,
right,
you know, and the skies are that way sometimes. We get real focused and we drive crazy.
Right. And this chapter is going to expound on exactly what you just said, because you are right on. And so we see here, the life-protecting truth of God's word and His commandments, and how that really is what, you know, enlivens us and refreshes us and protects us. And so as parents and as youth, we need to consider that God's word, that's God's word. That's the power of God's word. You know, this is not just an intellectual assent ever. This is life changing transformation for each one of us. And God has provided this for us as parents to instruct our own hearts, and then to be able to instruct and guide our kids as they struggle with things like sexual temptation. Okay, so verse 2, again, talks about keeping my teachings as the apple of your eye. So have you guys ever heard that saying, you know, you're the apple of my eye? Okay, so doing this study, it reminded me, I know Ron will already know this, but what is the apple of your eye? Does anybody know what that even means? I now do because I looked it up. Okay, so this is what I learned, and perhaps someone will correct me if this commentator was wrong. But the beginning of that reference of the apple of your eye is the pupil of our eyes that allow light to go directly to the retina, and how the truth is we both need to and we do protect the apple of our eye, the pupil. It's that ability to see things clearly, to receive truth, you know, through the lens of our eyes. And so when it says, keep my teaching as the apple of your eye, that's to hold it in high esteem and high regard and to protect it. How many of you, whether you're younger or older, were ever told by your parents, don't stare at the sun? Okay, for those of you that were never told that, we'll talk to you. We don't stare at the sun because, yeah, it's bad for us. It will potentially, although Mr. Foltz probably could give us a lecture on it, from what I understand, extended view of that high-intensity beam into the retina will cause some deterioration. For details on that, talk to Ron after class. But the point is, as we see this in Scripture, we want to consider that word picture, that keeping God's commandments is life-giving, like he mentioned, and the fact that we see this analogy to the pupil of our eye and how we protect that. It's not something that we would take a toothpick and poke ourselves to see what would happen. Okay, so let's continue in the Scriptures here. It talks about binding them on your fingers, writing them on the tablet of your heart. So there's this, you know, this meditating, this treasuring, this is really considering the truth of God's word. So as it relates to all of God's word, but as it relates to contending with sexual temptation, we have the resource. We have, you know, if you're a believer, we have Christ in us, and yet too often we don't reach to the right resource. We reach into self or a friend for worldly, counsel, rather than look to God and his word for help in this area.
It kind of reminds me of that saying, you know, sin will keep us from this word, or this word will keep us from sin, you know. And that kind of is like what Mike was talking about. When you're in sin, you're not going to be turning to his word, and his commandments will keep you and give you life. Or if you follow the commandments, you'll have eternal death.
Right. Amen. Absolutely. So, question. This is not a breakout section yet, but from verse 3 and 4, when it talks about, you know, giving God's word permanent residence in our minds and thus in our conduct, how do we do this? How do we make that a reality as believers?
Stay in the word.
What? Who?
Stay in the word.
Stay in the word. Okay, so what does that look like for you, Sue?
It sounds good as it should be.
Okay.
But daily, somehow,
right,
speaking truth to yourself by having the word speak to you, by reading it or hearing it, listening to it. I listen to it sometimes because I'm running around or in my car, so I'll have scripture play to me.
Right.
And my phone will play it sometimes in the middle of church or here. But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. And that is the truth. That's not, you know, like, wow, I never thought of that, but it's a discipline. And it's really a delight. We know that we need it. We understand it. And so even when we are lazy or we're downtrodden, we know the truth of God's word that says, be in God's word, because it will refresh when we don't feel like reading God's word.
I will say that being older now, as I read God's word more, I am remorseful that I didn't read it sooner, that truth could have kept me out of some trouble.
Right.
And now that I read it, I think I wish I had known that truth when I was a
teenager. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that's an encouragement to the younger people in the room, because that's great. That's great wisdom you're sharing there.
Well, it's a crack up is what she said. Her phone will do. There's an app for that. For God, there's a God app. You know, and there's also the opposite app. It will take you down roads
You are right.
So it's a double-edged sword. Like, I've got all this information in front of me. Too much information.
Yeah.
That's why we all have choice.
Right.
And the answer to your question is to delight in His Word.
Right.
We can study it, but if we're not delighting in His Word, His will, and His, you know, our desire for serving Him and loving Him most, then we'll follow the other, our flesh and the other route.
Right.
I remember asking my mom once when I was younger, aren't there rules? You know, when I hit high school especially, it was so confusing. And I said, you know, aren't there some rules for life that I can just open up and read what to do next? And it was all the scripture, but I didn't know it then.
Right. Yep, that's great truth. Okay, so verse 4 just basically is continue on to give us that word picture of, you know, the intimacy, the family connection that we're called to and that we are benefited of if we're a believer in Christ. And then verse 5, we see the great benefit come really clear to us. It is to keep us from the forbidden or immoral woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. And by the way, from the adulteress with her smooth words, even though this is a dad writing to his son, this has application galore for you young ladies to consider this as we go through this text. What we see here is her smooth words. So when you guys consider, you know, the smooth words of the temptress. And by the way, I want to, you know, back when this was written, it's obviously, you know, going down the marketplace. You know, this is a picture of going into the local town. And we have both the benefit and the danger of we can go into the local town through our phone, through our computer, through our iPad. And so to see this temptress, this adulteress, comes in digital format, if so desired, right on our phone. And so I want to, you know, I don't want to lose any young people with this kind of poetic language, because this is so applicable. Jamie?
I read an article yesterday, Tom Moeller, and he was talking about the boys in, you know, the Old Testament or New Testament, they still had to walk through town to go run errands for their moms or go get bread or whatever. So we think our temptations are so much greater, but it was that. It was that they still had to walk through the town.
In the flesh.
And in the, yeah, and the same sin is just in different ways
right.
And more readily available now.
Yeah, I mean, this was written back in Bible times for a reason, because sexual sin was hugely prevalent. And to her point, you know, as we send any one of us, but a young person who is still developing in character and experience into the world to take care of some marketplace business, and we're sending you right through where sin is waiting for you. That's the danger. That's the point that this father is talking to his son about. And when you think about the internet, you know, I wrote myself a note here that, you know, the internet is actually a place where these images are cast like a net, or it could be words as well that are in, you know, could be in a book, could be in a, you know, a blog or an email. Where the temptress, where the devil, where the powers and principalities of this world are really trying to hook you, to hook any of us. You know, this we're talking about young people, but this danger is as dangerous for us older people as it is for you. You know, Lord willing, we've grown, we've matured as older believers, and so we're more aware. Stay away from this. And the call and reason we're spending time this morning for us and for you young people is to consider the danger of this. And so the truth is we need to be on guard, and we need to keep the truth close, like we heard from several of us. Okay, so now we're going to get to our question on your handout, the first one. And we still have quite a bit to go in this text. So the first question says, what are some of the world's messaging and enticements that go directly against God and His standards of sexual purity and will draw us to this seduction rather than keep us from it? So I'd like you guys to discuss it. We're not going to spend a super amount of time on this, but I'd like to spend several minutes on that. And after we discuss that, we'll then go to the second question. So why don't you guys break into your groups and discuss what are some of the world's messaging and enticements that go directly against God and His standards of sexual purity and will draw us to this seduction rather than keep us from it. I know we could spend more time on this, and again, I encourage you after class, spend more time on this, because this is, I know you were just touching the iceberg of this, but the question was or is, what are some of the world's messaging and enticements that go directly against God and His standards of sexual purity and will draw us to this seduction rather than keep us from it? So let's start with an adult group. Somebody raise your hand and we'll have you report out, okay?
We talked about advertising, all the different forms of advertising through the internet, through billboards, the television, on the radio, just all the different ways that the world tries to suck you in and say, you know, if it feels good, do it.
Right.
You know, you deserve it, whatever.
Right.
So advertising
okay.
is a huge thing.
That's right. We're bombarded by that. It's everywhere. Yeah. You go to the grocery store to buy milk,
yeah.
and there's a rack there. There's still magazines, you know,
yeah.
even though everything's digital now. And they're, you know, usually have something to get you to look at them, and many times they're not beneficial.
Well, there's two things here. I think perception, as we talked about, that, you know, on the internet, there'll be a little click on this, and it looks enticing, it looks fine, and when you get there, it's something else. So it's deceiving. And then news and reporting the ways of the world makes it look credible because it's on the news. So gay marriage or abortion or anything that's reported on the news, somebody will think, well, then if it's on the news, it must be the way things should be or that it's normal behavior.
Right. Excellent. So do you guys catch that? You know, there's that deception of what might seem harmless, and that's done intentionally for you to click on, that results in really bringing you to a place that you never should have gone. So I'm talking to all of us, but young people, take heed to this, because this is huge. As you guys get more freedom to have access to a lot of resources on the internet, these other links are there. And by the way, parents, that's why we need to have the wisdom to have those, you know, filters and management systems on our computers. That's not the answer. That doesn't change a heart of sin to a heart for God, but it definitely helps protect. As
you put like a fire screen around your fire,
right?
Kids don't reach in or other things.
Right. Absolutely. That's right. Yeah. So highly important, and it does protect. And I just again, I want to balance the reality because I have talked to some people who spent a ton of time and attention on getting the fire screen put up, but didn't have the heart conversations regarding the danger of why we don't touch that.
And that's where it is. All these, the pornography, you know, all of the things that are available are only a symptom. Where we've got to go back mm-hmm. to what the world is messaging to our kids, and then you and I too. It's more extreme because of the media aspect of it. What is it telling us? It is natural. It is healthy. It is self-expression. It's getting to know who I am inwardly. And when we do that, not only does the sexual aspect comes in, but if it's healthy and I have homosexual thoughts, then it's healthy to express those.
Yeah.
That's what makes it okay in the world. All of these things are important to know to protect. But this goes back to what you're saying about the heart issue.
Right.
That this is not healthy out of context. It is not self-expression. It is godly expression in marriage. And so that's what comes back. That's what we need to be teaching our kids. Are those basics. Oh, yeah, and stay away from this, too.
Right.
You know, we want to lose sight of that, but that's good.
Absolutely.
And also, you can change yourself. This group will hear, will reshape you, will redo you. You don't have to look the way you look. You can look like this image
right.
that we say is good.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's a draw for a lot of people. It's like, I don't like the way my ears look. You know, they've always stuck out. You know, I can thin them back if I get old.
Yep. It's that false lie that we buy into. That's why this is the truth. This is the resource. This is where we go, if we're believers, for help, for being built up, for understanding, man, I got to say no to these things and yes to these things. This is crucial for us. Going back to what Sue mentioned, being in God's Word daily and really considering it and meditating it on it, and then having a time of confession, repentance, discussion with God, accountability maybe with someone in, you know, that's a mature believer in an area that you're struggling in.
Well, I think people we have a lot of Christian parents even that, like, their kids hit 13 when we were junior high, you know, involved with the junior high group. Well, they're rebelling. That's normal at 13. Well, and three-year-olds lie. That's normal. But that doesn't make it, the deception that natural and normal makes acceptable. By God's word and God's will, it's not acceptable. So sin is normal, you know, and we have to remember that. That just because it's normal behavior, we don't accept it from our children.
Right.
You know, we try to point them in the right direction with God's truth.
Absolutely. Okay, young group in the back. What did you guys, anything else you want to add to the world's messaging and enticements?
Basically the same thing. We just kind of talked about the message of, like, do what you want in your own.
Right. Okay, and what about the group in front of you? Anything else? Or no?
We had a couple things like internet, social media, that's so important, one of the biggest things. So we think we're going to draw us kind of to them, do all that stuff. Pressure, deception, false friends.
Okay, excellent. I mean, those are real. Was the last one you said false friends?
Yeah.
That's quite profound, because that's so true. Is really understanding who is your brother, truly your brother or truly your sister, and they're going to desire to lead you in the path of righteousness, right, to build you up, not to entice you down a way that's away from God and His standard and His word. And so that's where all of you and all of us need to hold each other accountable, so that when a conversation starts to become quickly un-God-glorifying, that you guys, gals, us have the courage to speak lovingly about it and use God's word to redirect the truth. And if this person says, you know what, you're lame and you're wrong, well, it's time to then realize that perhaps this is not really a friend. This is someone that is, you know, not going to build you up and be helpful. Okay, now let's move on to the next question. The next question is this. How can we counteract this deception and strategy of sin and temptation in our lives and remain pure? Because that's the question. That's the question that we all contend with. We want, you know, we desire for you young people to see the truth early and regularly, and as older people, again, to be modeling it and to be real with it, so that we're discussing these matters of the heart and these temptations with you. But it's not easy. You'll see there that I gave you quite a bit of scripture because God has a lot to say on it. And so this is my reduced list. But I take some time now in your groups and consider scripture that you already know of, or you can use some of these to discuss what really is a way to counteract this deception. So go ahead and discuss that in your groups. So before we answer this question, I decided to look down at my notes, and I realized I had a couple of bullets that I wanted to share with you guys as it relates to the first question I asked. So for the benefit of maybe a few that might listen to this, that first question about, you know, what is the world's messaging and enticements that go directly against God and His standards of sexual purity and will draw us to the seduction rather than keep us from it. This is from the commentator that I had looked at. He suggested these things. A very secular and sexually saturated and permissive culture that we're in. The widespread availability of pornography, which you mentioned. The disconnection of sex from pregnancy and reproduction. That's a big one. Laws making divorce easy and impossible to contest. Social media technology making anonymous meetings easier.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's so prevalent. And here's another one. Widespread prosperity that lessens the financial impact of family breakups. You know, on one hand, we're blessed as a country to be, you know, financially rich compared to most of the world. And yet the other side of that is we don't feel the pain and consequence that, you know, and the tearing apart of a family that God has clearly told us is terrible. And then here we go. This is an interesting one to discuss at home. The large and growing gap between the time of puberty and the average time people get married. Think about that.
That's huge.
You know, as I mentioned at the very beginning, you know, as we go through puberty and our bodies are now able to make small people. You know, we see the beauty in the context of and covenant of marriage that, you know, God calls us to be fruitful and multiply. And yet the culture is saying, put it off, spend more me time, me focus, you know, get these things in order, get your career and then add kids, you know, much later. Meanwhile, we have a body that is desiring sexual fulfillment. And so something to really consider. Okay, I want to make sure that sorry that I missed that earlier. Now let's go to the second question. How can we counteract this deception and strategy of sin and temptation in our lives and remain pure? So how about you guys in the back?
One of the things that, kind of indirectly, but we want to make sure we're communicating with our children actively, thoughtfully about the subject, and we don't have to make it like a once in their life, okay, we're going to have to talk. It could just be part of our normal life. Like when it comes up as needed, we talk about it.
Right. Absolutely. Very good. You know, that reminds me, although it's not connected directly, follow my link. So I agree with that, and we try to do that as well. And when it comes to like creation and the world trying to teach evolution, when we're with our family and we're doing family stuff, and let's say we're watching a show, movie, whatever, and we hear something that's false, one of us will go, ah. You know, and so really that's what we're saying. When it comes to the things of sexual temptation in life, somebody needs to go, ah, we need to discuss this, right? And make it a natural, you know, it doesn't have to be a 20-page essay, but really, hey, we're doing life together. What does God's Word say? Hey, this is what we just talked about. This is what we need to stay clear of and really replace. So, good job. How about a young person group? Nice and loud.
Okay, well, I think it's good to read the Bible, pray, surround yourself with good influences. And another thing is, if you have like a good group of Christian friends, and hold each other accountable to what you're doing, ask each other, you know, how are they being tempted? Are they falling for their temptations? That type of stuff. Because once we start holding each other accountable, then we're going to start thinking about it and trying to do the same.
So. Okay, excellent. Very well said. Good job. The key is let's have the courage to live that out, right? Okay, what about another adult group that would like to add?
You know, we're talking and this is done. I just picked up the Psalms. We have a redemptive God. If your child comes to you, if you go to your child, he's there to forgive. And it can be once, twice, it can be 10 times. Don't give up. Just keep on keeping on.
Amen. Thank you for that. And if, you know, I know there was a lot of scripture there that I added, but I actually have some text I included because of that exact statement. You know, we have a God, you know, if you want to call it a second chances, who redeems us, who understands us, who is compassionate to us and for us. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Christ died because we're sinners that fall short and we are susceptible to sexual temptation. And he forgives. That's not a license to say, I'm just going to keep super abounding in sin. But the reality is there's that hope and that promise for his children. So we need to cling to that. Absolutely.
Kind of with what you said and what Connor said and that is to surround yourself in a group of friends that you're bold enough to speak truth and say aunt. But say aunt in a loving way so that you don't go, I can't talk to my Christian friends about this because they won't understand. We want to make sure that I have, hey, brother, I'm struggling. It's okay to confess your struggle. It's okay to confess your sin so that to your parents or your friends, because you want that godly counsel to come alongside you and be loving and forgiving and yet point you to the truth and say, how can I help you fight against that struggle? Not, eh, you're wrong, and then you just got to keep it to yourself.
Right. Very good point.
And,
she doesn't normally ask you that question. We're not in front of others. I just want to make that clear.
Anyway, Connor brought up a good point that
you know, we all sin. I don't care if you're 63 or 13. We all sin, and I think as children, we look at our parents as maybe they've arrived, they're perfect, they're Christian, and I can't tell my parents I'm lost in this season of sin because my parents won't like me anymore. That's a lie.
Right.
That is a lie. Your parents, our parents, have always been there to guide us and help us. They may show some disappointment or fear, but that's because they love. And I just think that's real important that we all sin. We all have our own struggles, just a different struggle at different ages.
Right.
I could be that conversationalist. Mm-hmm. As boldly as they say, well, blah, 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 I can boldly say, that's not true. And they kind of look at you startled, like, well, what do you mean? It's okay to feel it. Like, no, that's not true. That is not the way it's designed. That's not the way it's made. You know, here, I can show you how. You know, I'm just as bold as they are bold saying, well, I'm gay and I'm proud. You know, it's like, that's a bad way to go. That's not true.
Right. We should not be ashamed.
You were made by an awesome God and He made you perfect. And here you are diverging yourself down a road following this worldly view of things. Don't do that. You're better than that.
Right.
God has made you. He made you special. He made you awesome. You know, so there's so many blessings to being on the right track.
Yep.
So,
that's why we need to speak the truth in love. Cliff, you're actually allowed to talk now.
Can I talk now? I usually do ask that question. Anyway, just really quickly, I think this goes back to actually to the other question, helping our young people understand that this is not just a difference in opinion from the world and us. This constant and growing sense of sexuality is a deliberate, intentional act of deception to pull us away from the truth. Opinion. It's not because we believe it's sin. That's true. It's much bigger than that. And this is what the world is doing. And it is intentionally trying to deceive you and pull you away from what is right. And when we fail, yes, we fail. We sin. And we sin against the Lord. That's essentially what sin is. But like I said, this isn't just a difference of opinion between Christians and the world. It's much deeper than that. And they need to understand that.
Absolutely. So, and that's what we're going to see next week as well, since we started late and we're running out of time, is that in this chapter, we actually see exactly what Cliff talked about, the strategery of sin, the temptress, and its desire to entrap all of us. And that's the world's goal. That's you know, Satan and his dominion's goal is that, and we have remaining sin that is very quick to want to grab onto that. And so we need to see the counterfeit for the truth. And that's why, again, we have the hope in Christ and his gospel grace. I'll make another comment. You know, young people, I implore you, I beg you, if you're struggling in this sin, talk to your parents about it. Confess it. God, you know, obviously is well aware of it. Your parents, you know, desire to help you. And I will tell you my experience in talking to many of you guys and talking to those that have struggled and talking to parents who are counseling their kids and trying to help them. This is one of those most secret sins in the beginning where we can as parents look at our kid in the eyeballs and say, hey, let's talk about this. Are you struggling? Oh, no, not at all. And so we really need to ask continuing questions and take our blinders off and pray, Lord, soften my son or my daughter's heart so that they will confess this so that we can have a real discussion. And parents, we need not be naive. And it kind of goes back to what Jamie said. Let's not be foolish enough to pull the fire screens off and then just think, oh, they keep telling me everything's fine, so let's just give them free, you know, access to everything. We need to consider that.
And JP, I know, yes, your parents love you. They've raised you. They've birthed you. But there's also, we have a church mode of godly people. If you're so embarrassed to go to mom and dad, come to one of us. Come to one of us.
Amen. The purpose and benefit of the body, and that reminds me of, you know, like, this is just an example. You know, this book, two of my sons are reading it with me during the week, and then they're actually going to a brother in the Lord's house. It happens to be my son-in-law, but to discuss this book. Remember, I know that several of you in the room are doing that. And so I, you know, I want them, my sons, to hear the truth of God's word, certainly coming from me and from my wife. But there's that benefit of hearing it from another believer in Christ, to hear it maybe said differently. God uses that and blesses that and bonds us together in ways that only He can. So your point is an excellent one. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. Okay, so let's close in prayer. So I have a request, a loving request. I started probably a good 10 minutes late because I wanted you guys to be here. If you can get here earlier next week on time, that would be helpful, just so I'm not going so slow. I know we get providentially detained and that happens, but we'll continue through this next week as well. So let's pray together. Father, we know that you are a magnificent and gracious God that is a victorious God. And as we think about the ugliness, the sin that so easily ensnares us, specifically this sin of sexual temptation, oh God, it is ravaging many families. It has really taken on a life of its own of sorts in the world and is knocking at every one of our doors at home and in the church. And so, God, I pray that you would help us as your children, as parents, as grandparents, to be wise, to be discerning, to be loving, to be aware, and to have conversation with you, to examine our own hearts and our own habits, and to be interacting with our young people in meaningful and beneficial ways, and doing this in a way that's approachable. Father, I pray that you'd help us to see where our faith is truly placed as it relates to this, to what we're truly relying on for guidance, for counsel, for influence in our lives. I pray for you to give victory to those in this room and in our church that are struggling in this area of taking this sexual temptation to the level of sin, allowing it to be so enticing that they're drawn in and entrapped. And the war is raging. Father God, may you help those, and may you cause them to repent, and may you allow us as brothers and sisters to love them and counsel them and build them up in your word and truth. So Father, go before us in these things for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.